I was going to read Hebrews 11, 1 to 16.
Good morning, church. Good morning. All right, I'm going to be reading from verse 1 and then end verse 16. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 16. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would rather receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were his heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country that they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Perpetual. I'm the second Simon. Lovely to be with you this morning. Let me echo Simon the Elder's thanks to DPC for welcoming us while the building work is going on. As we come to God's word, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the living God, that you are still alive and active this morning, and that you work in your people through your word. As we come to your word now, we pray that you would work in us, that you would give us open ears to listen to what you're saying, that you give us minds that understand and remember your word, and hearts that believe it and respond to it, that we might grow more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, we're continuing this series looking at big ideas, big words in Christianity, and faith is the big idea we're looking at today. I don't know what you think about when you hear the word faith. Judging by the internet, everybody seems to think they know what faith is. There's lots of different ideas about what the word means and what it implies. I wonder how many of these you would say that you agree with. Faith is such an important idea that even when we talk about having a faith, we mean being part of a religion. And certainly faith is at the heart of being a Christian. We're saved through faith. Today's reading says that without faith, no one can please God. So we're going to think today a bit about what faith is, what it isn't, and how we can grow in faith. I think it's helpful to start by saying three things faith isn't, three mistakes we often make when talking about faith. And one of them is kind of the Richard Dawkins error, if you saw that quote earlier. The faith begins where thinking stops, he likes to claim. The idea that faith means switching off your brain and just believing whatever you're told regardless of evidence. And I think it's pretty clear this isn't what the Bible is talking about when it talks about faith. John's Gospel finishes its whole account of Jesus' life and of his miraculous signs by noting that there was lots more he did, but, if we could have the next slide, but these are written that you might believe, or that you might have faith, that Jesus is the Christ, and believing might have life in his name. In other words, John says, I could keep on all day, but here's the evidence for who Jesus is. Here's the evidence on which your faith stands. Luke's gospel says something very similar at the start. Luke writes and says he's prepared this orderly eyewitness testimony so that you may know the certainty of the things you have believed. Faith isn't the opposite of reason and evidence. The Bible often presents evidence and truth as the food of faith. Faith plants its feet on truth, on the evidence it's seen, and steps off from there. Faith doesn't begin where thinking stops. Rather, the Bible constantly says, here is truth, here is your reason to believe. The second mistake I think we sometimes make with faith is treating it as if it's just a feeling, something that might come or go, something that you either have or don't have. As if you don't have faith, there's nothing to do except wait around for it to strike you. We sort of talk about faith almost a bit as if it was falling in love. And yet preachers in the Bible constantly tell people to have faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, the Apostle Paul says. Jesus says, you believe in God, believe in me, and so on. That doesn't make sense if it's just something you either have or don't have and can't do anything about. Paul makes it clear in his writings that faith is something that can grow, that can be nourished, not just waited for. Too often, I think we get our ideas about faith almost more from ideas about romantic love. Having faith becomes like falling in love, or at least the romance novel version of it, where it either happens or it doesn't and there's nothing you can do. But we know even with romantic love, it's not that simple, is it? Feelings can be temperamental and come and go. But there needs to be a commitment to love and a faithfulness to it. Certain things should move us to love and foster a loving relationship. Love is nourished and grown like a garden. It doesn't just fall like a thunderbolt from the sky. And in the same way, faith isn't just a feeling that comes and goes. It isn't just a question of, does this feel real to me at the moment? It is something given by God and grown and nourished in the Christian life. And the third and final mistake I think we can make about faith is almost the opposite, and that's to make it purely an intellectual agreement, as if faith is just agreeing to certain ideas or being able to explain ideas about God. And I think this is what another part of the Bible, the book of James, warns against. When James writes to his readers and says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if somebody claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" James is warning, I think, against somebody having a faith that is just up in the head and consists of agreeing to certain ideas, but which has no relationship, that never influences their life. There's no trust there. And so he says, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." Faith should affect the way you live. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. In other words, Christian faith is not just believing something to be true. It should make a difference to you, to your heart and to your life. It should result in action, not just abstract knowledge about God. The devil knows more about God than you and I, but that isn't saving faith. Saving faith is relational. It makes a difference to what you think and feel and how you live. It isn't just an idea or a set of values that you sign up to. Perhaps this illustration can help as we think about what faith is. It was certainly helpful for me. Many years ago, as a teenager, I think I was 16, I went to Toronto. And in that city, there's a very high tower. I don't know how many stories, but very, very high. And near the top is a glass floor. And the hapless visitor is encouraged to walk out on this glass floor. This is a picture of it, not a very good one, but it looks as if there's nothing between you and the city, however many stories below. Now, I've never been great with heights. I can just about manage a ladder with time to prepare myself, but I do not like high places, especially as a teenager. So you can imagine I was less than enthusiastic about this invitation. But I was also a 16-year-old boy, and the one thing I was even more scared of was looking scared. So I thought, I have to do this. And I found myself standing at the threshold of this floor, looking out at this glass that was helpfully kept perfectly clear, so it looked like it wasn't there. And intellectually, I knew it could support my weight. I could see other people had walked on it. I knew in my head, that's safe. But just knowing that wasn't faith. It didn't get me out the door. If I'd stood there on the threshold insisting, I believe it can take my weight, I'm just not going to walk on it, then I think fairly quickly my brother would have started making chicken noises. It wasn't just, do I believe it can take my weight? And emotionally, I was utterly convinced that the moment I stepped out, I would plummet to my doom. But that wasn't faith either. If I'd got to the lift doors and said, sorry, not feeling like it will support me today, I'm going to go back down, then again, I would probably have incurred a bit of mockery. See, in the end, neither the thinking it would support me nor the feeling like it would support me was faith. Faith was this. It was deciding to trust it enough to take a step and trust it to hold me up. And I think in the same way, when it comes to God, faith is not just sitting back and agreeing that certain things are true, though that helps you to that step. It isn't just feelings which can come and go, although the right feelings can give you a useful push. It's trusting him enough to step out and trust him to hold you up, committing your life and your soul to him and trusting him to keep you. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, that's not something you've done, then please hear the invitation to do so today. This is what it means to have faith, I think, to say, I trust him to hold me up, so I'm going to take that step. I'm going to commit to him my life. I'm going to trust him to save me in the face of my sin. I'm going to trust him to guide me through the ins and outs of life. I'm going to trust him with my eternity, because I believe he can keep me up. That's why all through the Bible, respond to him. If Fran, my wife, is giving me directions when I'm driving, and I insist that I trust her, but ignore the directions, she's liable to be skeptical. If we say we trust God, we're going to do what he says. We're going to respond. Faith is believing in God, trusting him enough to obey. And that's what we see in all the examples of faith from our reading today. Abel trusted that God would provide for him what he needed, trusted him enough to offer him the best of his flock, and not fear that he'd be left without animals. Noah believed and trusted God's warnings of a flood enough to go and build an ark, even when it was a heat wave, even when it looked utterly ridiculous to do what God said. Abraham seemed to have a pretty good life where he was, but he was called to leave it all, walk off into a strange, unmapped, unpoliced desert. Why did he do so? Well, he did so because he believed God. He believed God's promise to be with him and keep him and give him a future. He trusted God to deliver, and so he stepped out in faith. He had a few stumbles along the way, if you know the story, but ultimately he trusted God to keep him. Faith, believing God and trusting in him, is what led all these people to their acts of obedience. The thing that fuels Christian obedience is Christian faith. And that's why there's always something to faith that is looking forward. As the writer said in today's passage, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They were living by trust. They didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They were living by faith in that they were trusting that God would keep his promises, that the things he had said he would do, he would do. They didn't see them happen, most of them, in their lifetime, but because God had promised them, they trusted that it would be so. And they built their lives around the belief that what God had said he would do, he would do, not around what seemed like it would be wise and get good results in worldly terms. The smart thing for Abraham to do, worldly wise, was stay in Haran and develop the family holdings. But he picked it all up and headed off into the desert because he believed God's promise that one day he would give Abraham so much more than the world could give. Abraham didn't have that blessing in front of him to see. Indeed, most of these people in Hebrews 11 never saw the blessings they were promised in this life. They had to live by trust that God would deliver what he said he would deliver. And that's why so often the Bible encourages us to look back and look forward in order to live rightly in the present. We look back and see how God has kept his word in the past. The Bible gives us so many examples of that. And many of us probably can look back in our own lives and see how actually God was at work in this thing or in that thing. We look back and we see he has been faithful. And that should give us the confidence to trust him now, believing that he will keep his promises for the future. And therefore, it's worth living and striving and sacrificing for him in the present. Looking back, as the writer to the Hebrews does here with this roll call of heroes, should help us to look forward in faith and say he has kept his promise, he will keep his promise, therefore it's worth it to live for him now. When you're driving, if you drive a car, it's very important to have a rear view mirror and a windscreen, isn't it? You look back to see what's going on behind you, you look forward to see what's coming up in front of you, and that determines where you steer the car right now, hopefully. In the same way, I think, in the Christian life, we're invited to look back and see how God has always been faithful, has kept his promises. Look forward to the future and see what he promises. And so in the present, obey and trust him enough to do what he says. So as we wrap this up, let's think about a few things this could mean practically, because it's very easy for talk about faith to be very up in the air. So first of all, faith comes by hearing. Paul says this in Romans 10:17. You can't trust somebody you've never spoken to, never heard from. Faith stands on a relationship with God and it stands on truth. It's truth about God that will put you in a position to trust him. And that truth is found first of all in his word. And so if you're not sure you would call yourself a Christian, if you're trying to work out if you can take that step of trusting him with your life, then get as much truth as you can. Read the Bible, listen to Christians you trust, think, talk about God. Get as much truth as you can, because that will be the food of faith. And Christian, if your faith feels wobbly sometimes, if you find yourself struggling to trust God day to day, then get as much Bible into you as possible. That's the first bit of the Christian's healthy diet. Truth is the food of faith. God's word is the bread that we need. So get as much of that bread into you as possible to be healthy. And talk to others about what he has done in their pasts. Hear the stories of God's faithfulness in their lives. And if you have some of those stories, share them with others. The Psalms are full of God's people reminding each other, he always came through for us before. He's going to come through for us now. Maybe you've been a believer for some time. If so, maybe it's helpful to sit and remind yourself, what has he already done in my life? And encourage yourself with that reminder of the past history to help yourself trust him for the future and obey him in the present. Faith comes by hearing. Secondly, faith means doing. This is James's big theme, of course, but it's not unique to him. All through the Bible, we're told faith results in obedience, and the thing which leads to obedience is faith. Jesus warns of those who say, Lord, Lord, but never do what he says. Because if you trust somebody, you will do what they say. And in the same way, the only thing that's going to motivate us and enable us to live for God day by day is believing in him, trusting him. There's no reason otherwise to sacrifice and serve and struggle, except that we believe he's true, he's real, and he's worth it. So if you find it hard to obey God day by day, maybe there's some area of your life you find it hard to do what you know God says, or maybe there's something you're struggling to trust him with, then maybe it's worth asking, where is the area my faith needs to be strengthened? What is it that I need to believe more strongly? Is it a struggle to believe that he wants the best for you? If so, look to the cross. That's how much he wants the best for you, enough to die for you. Is it a struggle to believe he has really said what he has said? Is it a struggle to believe he knows what is best for you? Well, look at creation. Works pretty well. God knows what he is doing. Usually behind our obedience problem, sooner or later, is a faith problem. Because the more we're able to believe and trust God in what he says and who he is, the easier it becomes to actually obey him. So if obedience is a struggle, maybe ask, where do I need to work on faith? But I think it also works the other way. Sometimes obeying also helps our faith grow. I think this is what James means when he says in chapter 2, verse 26 of his letter, that as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. As the spirit, the life, gives life to the body, so deeds give life to faith, he seems to be saying. Which isn't the way round I would instinctively have written it, but when you think about it, it makes sense, doesn't it? When I stepped out on that glass floor, I fairly quickly found my faith in it start to grow because it held me up. The more you trust somebody else and find them to be trustworthy, the more faith you have in them. The more you trust God by doing what he says, especially when that means taking a risk for him, relying on him to do what he promised in a difficult time, well, the more you'll see him in the end come through, and the more easy you will find it to trust him again. I know for me, when I've taken risks in obedience, whether it was going to live somewhere new or having a conversation that could make others hostile or walking away from an indulgence or a relationship that could be a temptation to sin, those have been the times my faith has grown the most. Think maybe of Simon Peter in the Gospel stories. You remember where Jesus tells him to get out the boat, and Simon Peter gets out the boat and walks to him over the water. However much his faith then went on to wobble, how much must those moments of walking on water have stuck in his memory down the years and reminded him of the power of Jesus? Faith should lead to deeds, to obedience. And stepping out in obedience in turn strengthens faith, seeing God be trustworthy. So again, if your faith feels wobbly, is there an area you're not putting it into practice? Is there some area where you've been avoiding living for God? Some sin you don't trust him enough to let go of? Some risk you don't trust him enough to take? Are you stood, like I was in Toronto, at the edge of the floor, reluctant to step out? If truth, and truth from the Bible, is the food of faith, stepping out in obedience is the exercise that keeps it healthy. Faith is healthy when it's exercised. Faith comes by listening. Faith means doing. And finally, faith means not walking by sight, but walking by trust. That means faith is recognizing that what we see at the moment, the world that surrounds us right now, is not all there is or ever will be. Recognizing that there is a lot more to come, and therefore living now in the light of God's future promises. It can be easy to live as if our everyday lives are all there is, as if this world around us, the world of jobs and school and friends and Facebook, is reality. And really, it's a very small blip in time before eternity. But when we start thinking that what we see is all there is, well, we start living for it, We start valuing it. We start thinking that what matters is how we feel in this life, what wealth or success or respect or friendships we can amass now. We start living as if wisdom means making people around us happy, getting what we can now. And faith tells us there's so much more. Faith tells us this world is passing away, but God stands forever. Faith means recognizing that the things we can't see yet, that aren't here in front of us to touch, are more important than what we see. That God's gospel and kingdom are much more important than what we have or what people think of us. And therefore, faith means making choices about where to live, what job to do, that recognize what's more important is how it helps us serve God rather than how it impacts our bank balance. Faith means recognizing that somebody else's view of God is more important than their view of us. And so it's worth challenging them to think about him, even if it means them thinking we're weird. Faith means that the first priority for us and for our families and children is to know God, to know Jesus, and to follow him, even if that might mean missing out on things, football or music lessons or homework on a Sunday, so as to come and be part of God's people. Faith means trusting God that he is worth more than what we see around us. Faith means putting him first, trusting that he is best when it comes to crunch. Walking by faith is hard. We want results here and now. We're an instant generation, even more than our forebears. And it's easy for Christians to believe lies that say, you can have it all right now, earthly prosperity and health and success and freedom, if you just believe hard enough. But that isn't faith. Faith isn't psyching ourselves up to feel something. It's trusting God to guide us and to keep us and to bless us in his own good time. It's trusting him enough to choose what he says now and to live for the world to come, not the world in front of us. It's risky obedience day by day that comes from looking to the future and trusting that it is in God's hand. So, let's conclude. Faith isn't just agreeing to some ideas. It isn't just a feeling you might have or not have. It's trusting God with your soul and with control of your life. It's choosing to take that step of trust, to trust that Jesus' work on the cross is enough to pay for your sin, to trust him to be the king of your life now and in eternity. And so that trust results in obedience, in living for him, for what he says now, and living for the age to come, not the world around us, because we trust God to deliver what he has promised. If you aren't a Christian and are standing on the edge of that, trying to work out if you can take that step, then talk to those who have trusted God to carry them, and see what it has been like for them. Get to know the God who invites you to trust him. Listen to him in his word, speak to him in prayer, and ask him to grow the gift of faith in you. And if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, and you want to grow in faith, which is probably all of us, I imagine, then remember, faith isn't blind. It grows through exercise and truth. Truth about what God is like, and truth about what he has already done. So fill your heart and mind with truth, especially from his word, and put it into practice. Take the step out and find that he can hold you, because he never fails. Amen.